Morning, Facebook. It's 10 a.m. in the UK. It's 5 a.m. on the East Coast. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
And this is Blabbing for Britain, episode 172A, because there is another episode which you can catch at 11 today. We're doing a short special, by accident rather than by design, on the Sergeant TCS page in an hour's time. So we're going to be promoting Don't Stream and Drive. And anybody who's still got a voice is more than welcome to join me. Right. Now, what I do want to do before we are joined by somebody else, who you never know who's going to join us, I say good morning to everybody, good morning to Tish, is to talk a moment, just for a second, about United World Radio. United World Radio is a joint venture between myself and Fonz, and it is actually live at the moment, and at the moment it's actually playing. It's actually playing an episode from 5 Days Live, and it also has on there Blabbing for Britain shows and shows by the Power Hour, and we've got the show this morning from Australia as well. So what we're doing is taking the shows that have already been broadcast on Facebook, not necessarily on BeLive.tv, and we're broadcasting those shows throughout the day. And what we're looking for is people to join us as presenters. Now, the only thing that you need to do is to actually send in an MP3 of your show. Now, I had some adventures with that over the past couple of days, which I'll talk about. But United World Radio needs you, and it needs your podcasts. And of course, the thing is, if you do an episode for us, then you can also repurpose it, because you've already created your very first podcast, and you can go to anchor.fm and upload it as we do with all the Blabbing for Britain episodes. So, United World Radio, and I'm going to post the link, and so you can listen to it 24/7. When it's not playing podcasts, it's playing music selected by Fonz, and we've got people who are actually saying, you know, it's all good stuff. So you'll hear more about United World Radio in the coming weeks. We've only been going for 8 days, but we're off to a cracking start. Right, okay, so now I can remove that, because that was taking up my CPU. Right, okay, I'm back. Okay, John's very quiet.
John's very gruff. All down here is very, very sore, and my tongue is sore. So what I've done.
It's that time of year still, isn't it?
Yeah, and I half killed myself yesterday. In the plot I took over last year, there is a tree stump this sort of size, and I've started removing it. And today I'm determined to finish the job.
It's got to go.
Well, it's just in the way, you know.
Oh, right. Okay.
The man that had it before was well into his 70s, so I'm not surprised he didn't have a go at smashing it up. But, yes, it's got to go, because it just makes the side go, you know.
Okay, yeah.
My tidy straight line. It's rotted, except for the top. It's rotted upwards. So,
right. It's got to be taken out. How long has it been there, you reckon? How old is it?
I would say it's probably there when the allotments were formed in 1947. So
it's been there possibly 72 years.
Yeah.
Wow. But husbandry, is it? And what will go in its place?
Dahlias or chrysanthemums, of course.
Of course. All right, okay. Right, can you talk about that for a second? I'll be back in a second.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to talk about dahlias and chrysanthemums for a few moments. Not quite sure what's happening to Stephen, but for those that don't know me, I grow lots of dahlias and chrysanthemums. I show dahlias. I don't show chrysanthemums, but I give loads and loads of both away to people. And it makes people very happy, because they get big bunches of flowers. I do grow veg and other things on the plot. The Dahlia patch is about half of one of the smaller plot, and then on the other plot I've got a polytunnel, and I'm just in the process of making a massive raised bed because the back of the plot floods. So I'm making a 6 meter by 3 meter raised bed, and then there'll be individual areas in that 6 meter by 3 meter raised bed. But it's a plank and a half high, so it's about 18 inches high, roughly, to try and stop the flooding. But hopefully the flooding will actually feed the plants that go in there. That's enough talking about dahlias and things. It looks like Stephen's coming back, so you're going to be rescued from my talk about flowers and vegetables. And he's back. Hello, Stephen.
Yes, I'm back. You'll never guess what I had to do then. I had to do what you...
Parcel at the door? Because that's what always happens to me.
there was a parcel at the door.
Yeah.
And I had to go and collect a parcel. Apologies for the sound, everybody. Right, we're okay now. Yeah, I had to collect a parcel.
That's all happening to me.
Yeah. Angelica got a message saying, George will deliver your parcel between 9:38 and 10:48. And that's good, because she did it.
DPD by any chance?
I'm not high up on the delivery services. I don't know.
They're the best. When they say between those times, it always happens.
And we say good morning to Claire. Gardening talk. We need more of that. Say you're on gardening hour.
No,
I'm serious now. You could have gardening hour on United World Radio.
Yes, well.
Pre-record it, upload it. No, just a thought.
We'll okay. Think about it.
Right. As Claire's joined us, Claire, we're looking for content providers for United World Radio, which is a 24/7 radio station, and you can take an MP3 from an existing show, or you can do a specific recording and send it to us, and we'll play it on the radio during the week, because the weekends are given over to music. We're actually going to have some folk music, John.
Good night.
You sound so enthusiastic about that.
I used to be a member of a folk club.
You and me both. Go on.
When I was 17, 18, 19.
Yep. Me too.
There was this bloke called Bob. Yeah. Who changed his name to Jasper Carrot.
Ah, right. Okay. I guess you're in the Midlands, of course.
Well,
near Birmingham.
Totally help. He doesn't do many appearances these days because he's a major shareholder in the company that produces all the big quizzes and things. So.
All right, okay. We'll say good morning to Kelly. It's spring. Flowers are all good. There you are. So there is room for a gardening show, John.
The flower that's out the most at the moment that's important to the bees. Is the dandelions. So right. Don't pick the dandelions. It's the bees.
The shout
we
went
have
out
a
from
bee crisis in this country.
The shout went out from Loving for Britain to all four corners of the world. Don't pick the dandelions. That could be a slogan. Could well be a slogan. Yeah, I was a member of a folk club as well, and back in those days, there's a chap called Mike Harding.
I remember Mike Harding. The cowboy.
Indeed, before he became famous. He's more famous now for a viral letter he wrote to Mrs. Thatcher, to Mrs. May, than anything else. But he was, and still is, a great folk singer. And all the top folk singers used to come to the Nelson Conservatory Club. We didn't have to be members, we just had to turn up on a Friday night. We had some fantastic folk evenings because they were friendly affairs, a couple of pints or more, and listening to live folk music. I wonder if that still goes on. It must somewhere.
Our folk club was called the Boggery. B-O-G-G-E-R-Y.
The Boggery. Whereabouts was that?
It was in a football club down a country lane, not far from my mum and dad's, actually, because mum and dad lived what was then the edge of town, but has now had subsequent fields turned into into housing. But
that's stay in the Midlands.
It was called then. Field Lane, funnily enough.
Let's stay in the Midlands, and there is. You've got a new Primark coming.
Yeah, well,
the world's largest Primark opens in Birmingham this weekend.
Really? Where?
It's in the old something building. It's 5 stories of Primark.
Well, my daughter will be excited, but it won't make any difference in the world to me.
Well, this is. I mean, these people, the people who lead the disposable clothing situation we find ourselves in, where you buy a t-shirt, wear it 3 times, and then go and get a new one. This is all down to them.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's amazing what you can actually get. I mean, we've got Primarks in Swindon, and what you can actually get is quite amazing. And the price that you pay is silly, really.
I've got a couple of Primark shirts that my daughter's bought me.
It's reasonable quality.
I would make a beeline too, let's put it that way. And the other thing is, it's in the city centre. So, you know, having recently discovered that the train actually into the city centre is not bad, I still don't go shopping in the city centre. We have our Yes Club in the city centre on this, the last Tuesday in the month, which in this case is the last day of the month, the 30th.
That's Primark done. Right, we've got a movement going, John. Tish is saying, I think we should take a poll in having a John Flower John Flower radio show.
It has to be an allotment show and talk about vegetables as well, because I'd soon run out of flower things. Because I only grow dahlias and chrysanthemums. I've actually got a border at the front that I'm currently filling full of perennials, you know, so it just keeps going and going and going.
Right.
But yes, no, I'll think about it, okay?
Good. I won't mention the plan B, Tish. We'll go with plan A, as we say hello to. From the centre of the universe, from Stoke, just in time for the politics part.
Oh,
welcome, Stephen Silk.
How are we?
We're good, you?
Yes, it's bloody cold up here, though, I must say.
It's brilliant sunshine and nice and warm here.
It was -2 at 7 a.m. when I went to a networking meeting at the toll gate in Stoke. Freezing, man. Wrong. As the Orange Monster would say, where's the global warming? Oh, you see, I did that. Put the politics straight in there. You've got to be proud of me.
Right.
Okay. Is this picture okay? Is this camera?
You're a bit bright.
It's a bit it's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
Well, it's focused beautifully on the orchids.
Let's get a picture of the orchids for the people listening to this on the radio. There we are.
On radio.
Yeah, it's okay. The orchids, can you describe them, John?
Well, he's got one in his hand. He'd better if he described them.
White with pink bits. Pacifidoptera, I think they're called. Bloody gorgeous. I love them.
Right.
That's for ages, even here.
Okay. All good. Right, well, you're just in time. In the early hours of this morning, when all sane people were asleep, there were some people in Europe sat up debating something, and they came up with this. Brexit. UK and the EU agree a delay to the 31st of October. And they're bored. I can understand why people are bored.
We're not leaving until Halloween.
No, that's, we've got that time to sort ourselves out without us being forced to leave without a deal.
There's conditions, aren't there? We have to hold European elections in for Euro MPs. We've no choice on that. If we don't do that on June 12th, then by default we're out.
What?
Yeah. So we could leave on June 12th if we don't have the European elections.
Huh?
Yeah. Ooh. What they're saying is we still have to be good Europeans. Yeah. And so legally.
Farage gets another 6 months' pay.
Oh.
Well, that's always possible. It's always possible he will get another 6 months to pay, but the situation is now, it's Mrs. May was on television yesterday saying she still wants to get her deal through Parliament. Now, it's been defeated three times. She's tried it with her own party and they won't back her in their entirety. I'm going to Glad Claire's here. In their entirety. Now she's talking to the Labour Party to try, but saying, you've got to help me put my plan through. And the Labour Party saying, no, we'd. What are the Labour Party saying, Stephen?
I don't know. They're just saying talks are being constructive, aren't they? Yes, I agree, Claire. The Labour Party, I mean, you have to wonder if Corbyn's playing a blinder or being an utter.
We're on radio.
Yeah, and the thing is, nobody will know until it's all over. But at the moment, I mean, I can't. Probably spent about 4 days talking now, and
yeah,
we have no information about what's gone on. But the only bit I have seen is that the Labour people are saying that she hasn't changed her position one bit. So it's not actually a negotiation; it's a chat.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've read too and listened to on the radio and seen on television. And John's email's going mad.
It's turned off, but for some unknown reason, it keeps insisting on sending. I think Outlook has a background task running that we have to kill somehow.
You kill it, mate. You kill it.
Yeah. Gmail doesn't make those noises.
Yeah, Gmail only gets mail when you tell it to.
Exactly.
But I mean, so the EU has said that they would accept withdrawal up to the 31st of October.
Yeah.
And they've not mentioned anything about what the deal would be.
Well, they've given us their deal and we have to accept it or come up with an alternative that they will then accept.
But that implies that they will talk to us about an alternative. And they've said, no, we're not going to do that because we're not opening the withdrawal agreement.
Right. Okay. Tish is saying the clocks will be changed back before then. Right. Okay. Now, what could happen? And we don't know what's going to happen. We never do. We can only guess. And guessing's good. Is that Mrs. May could face a leadership election. 6 months is enough time to change prime minister. Or we could have a general election. 6 months is enough time to have a general election. Or we could have a poll, another referendum. So we've got plenty of time to actually to do either one or all of those.
That's all going
very well. Revoke Article 50.
That's too simple, John. I mean, that's basically what the CBI said this morning. And they said, stop about messing about. I'm going to use a different word. Stop messing about. Either leave or revoke. Yeah. For those of you trying to make any sense whatsoever of what happens next, then the BBC have provided this very useful chart, which shows all the combinations. I'm posting a link now, which shows all the combinations of what could happen between now and October 31st. And it's everything that could happen. Oh, everything. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Mr. Tusk has helpfully said, please do not waste this time. Mind you, he said that before. So we did say that on March 29th, we wouldn't talk about Brexit anymore. We were looking forward to not talking about Brexit after April 12th. We're going to be silent about Brexit unless something actually happens, I think. I think that's the best thing, isn't it? If we actually do something positive, then we talk about it. Otherwise, we've just got to ignore it. I mean, the whole country's got to ignore it now and just get on with it. I mean, our passports now. Our passports, our new passports. Anybody going for a new passport now, it doesn't have the EU letters on it, does it?
It seems to be pop back. Did you not see the husband and wife that renewed their passports? They were on last night.
Right.
Hers hasn't got and his has got.
So he's still in the EU, she's not. Yeah. Well, I mean, always.
And they came in the same envelope, apparently.
They've had all these dress rehearsals for March 29th.
Well,
traffic and everything.
It's going to happen now for 2 weeks, is it? The house is going into recess for Easter holidays today.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So we can forget all about it for 2 weeks.
Well, they should have gone into recess last Friday.
Right. Okay. Now, you have to take your hat off then. Let's forget our elections. The Indian election 2019, voting begins in the world's last election. This is 900 million people voting. And this is the one of the good things that we did give, even when India went independent, that they still use our system, including the voting system. Imagine the 52% to 48% vote, 52% to 48% vote in the election.
Imagine trying to implement proportional representation in there.
Imagine counting 900 ballots, 900 million ballots. So, hats off to the people running the Indian election. At least they know it's a straight run. And the odds are that Mr. Modi is going to be re-elected again.
I was in India in 1998, I think it was. And we were sort of walking around Mumbai, which you don't do too much. And all the bars and the hotels were shut.
Yeah.
Because they stopped people drinking on election day.
Oh.
You can see some sense in that. But
oh, you can, yeah.
It's the compulsory voting, or is it like here, well,
I don't know.
I can't be bothered, or I can be bothered.
I'll tell you one thing, my brother is absolutely, swear word, livid over this whole farce. And he said that from now on, he's not voting in anything. He's going to go to the pub instead, which I support. You know, it's a good strategy. He's just so disillusioned with it all as a result of, you know, what's going on. And he blames them all. He doesn't sort of single any one bunch of racists or hypocrites or whatever. He just blames them all. So it looks like we're going to the pub on election May 2nd.
Who knows?
Good for me.
Right. Claire is saying we've wasted the last 3 years, and so don't expect anything to change in the next few months.
Yeah, but we haven't wasted it yet. We haven't wasted it. We've paid the likes of Andersons and the big system integrators £5 billion for their advice. I mean, crumb. I should be swearing again.
Careful.
Good value for money, eh?
Yeah. We've wasted a fortune.
Absolutely.
Totally waste their fortune. Anyway, let's change the topic over. Back to Brexit.
Should we introduce compulsory voting so that if we do get another referendum, everybody has to vote?
Ah.
I mean, there were five in my house. At the time, there were four in my household. And only the two eldest, i.e. me and the missus, voted. The others didn't bother.
I think the other thing to say about that is change the way that you can vote. I mean, we can all go onto our banking website and do internet banking, and we can vote on nothing Britain's got stuff. It would be dead easy to get.
So is that a way to fix the economy? We all have to dial an 09 number, so we all contribute £1.25 to the economy when we vote.
Good call, John. Good call. Good call.
I mean, you'd raise a lot of monies.
The SME thinking I like, and I've come to rely on you for.
It's now right. Piers.
Right. A total change and something wonderful, which I marvel at.
I know
who is, question, who is Kate Bowman?
Who?
She's the lady who designed the algorithms that went into linking 8 microwave telescopes to get the first image of a genuine black hole.
The science correspondent may be interested. Boring is the garden.
Have you not seen the photograph, John?
The most exciting thing in that in astronomy, the cosmos, cosmology.
It looks like an illuminated elastic band. Yeah.
a huge galaxy, billions of miles away, we found. That thing that you can never ever see because light can't escape it. But the point he's making it, oh, come on, John, it's more bloody important than Brexit. Katie Bowman, is that her name, Steve? Has designed the algorithms for the linking together of this information. She's an absolute star. And interestingly, last night on Channel 4 News, when they were talking about this, they had a lady, she must be a professor, from Oxford University, and she was brilliant at what she said. Put your bloody noodles down. How dare you on screen, John? she was, as a communicator, excellent, absolutely excellent. So, it's a good bit of news, a fascinating piece of news.
I totally agree. I'm on your side, Stephen. I love the fact that we're actually reaching out and finding out more about the universe and other universes around us. And she's a very down-to-earth, scientist, very clever too, extremely, to actually do this. I mean, you there was a photograph yesterday of all the different stations that are actually taking part in this around the globe. And absolutely amazing that can be done. And despite John's thinking it's a cartoon set, it is reality. And that's what it looks like.
But have you also seen that today, in around about 250,000 miles away on that big white thing in the sky, a private Israeli company is going to land on the surface.
Yeah.
So that's another fab achievement. Although I did see an article yesterday, somebody saying that America isn't actually going to manage to land astronauts back on the moon within 5 years. It would appear to be another Trump thing. But it's certainly, let's not take it away from what they did yesterday. Just to get this image out is incredible. Absolutely.
Have you seen the picture of her that the BBC are using? I think it's supposed to be at some big space science lab. It looks like she's at the local Blackpool Fun Fair, with the Big Dipper and that in the background.
Right, we've temporarily lost Stephen and...
Science has fallen by the wayside.
And he's back. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. No, I don't know what happened. This is. Yesterday night was absolutely brilliant. Well, not brilliant. We've got the show. change the topic totally. We've got the show The Power Hour, which goes out at 6 p.m. our time every Wednesday night, and I produce the show. And yesterday we had a guest co-host, and the guest co-host was trying to get on the show at 10 to 6, and she couldn't. And we thought, well, what's going on here then? You know, is she having a problem? So we both refreshed, and we couldn't get back in either. So the show's due to start at 6, and we're trying to refresh and get into the BeLive studio, and nothing worked. So quick message to BeLive, and at 6:09, we all managed to get into the studio and actually went live at 6:09:50. So that was a close call. I don't want it any closer than that. This technology is wonderful, but occasionally, as Stephen just found out, we do have glitches.
She's 29 years old, Kate Bowman, I guess. And she led the team that stitched together this this photo. And there's a photo. Oh, she's on Twitter, Facebook. And a photo of her watching the image that she made possible. We've got to follow her.
Indeed.
Sorry, carry on.
I was hoping to have a Scottish input on the next.
Where is he?
You insulted him and he's not coming back.
But blah, blah, blah.
He's taking a break. I'm not sure whether he's watching or not. Tish normally.
I hope you are, Pete. Come back.
We just hope you're okay, my friend. But there's a new £150 million Caledonian sleeper trains, and it's a hotel on wheels. And if you see the pictures inside, it is like a Sheraton hotel. I could have said Holiday Inn hotel. I could have said any sort of good hotel. And it's for the first time ever, it's got hotel rooms with double beds in, which means that one can travel in style from Aberdeen down to London overnight. Which is not going to impress any of us, because Stephen's in Stoke, John's in Solihull, and I'm in Wiltshire. We're not going to come anywhere near that train unless we happen to go on holiday in Aberdeen.
It's got four dedicated engines as well that have been refurbished to run on it. So not only is the train itself refurbished, but there are four dedicated refurbished re-liveried engines as well.
Right.
They're expecting between 5,000 and 9,000 people at the Primark store on the opening day.
Right, to go back to our previous story.
I still don't know where it is though, because there's a massive long article on it. It just says Birmingham City Centre, and Birmingham City Centre is a big place.
Yeah, there's an article on the BBC website which says exactly where it is.
Well, that's what I was reading.
Oh, right. Okay. We'll scroll down. Right. So new train. And Tish is saying, stubborn. No, this is this time not watching. I think I'm always calling him out and saying hello, Peter. We'll all say hello, Peter, in case you're watching from elsewhere. Okay. So just want to stay with the railways for a moment, because this is a very strange one to me. Virgin Trains and Stagecoach, to my mind, are very well-respected companies who've delivered, certainly on the West Coast, a fantastic train service.
No!
Well, I think so, but just a minute. Their franchise is up for grabs again, and the government has said, okay...
It's our franchise.
Sorry, I'm going to be corrected by our railways... Over to you, Stephen. What is going on with pensions and rail franchises?
The railway pension scheme was always the most brilliant pension scheme. And I'm an interested party there because I get my BR pension and it's lovely. But the issue, I think, is that is it Stagecoach have refused to pay enough into the employees' pension scheme, and they've been sort of stripped of the chance to bid for the next franchises. have been up for grabs. The franchise system itself is failed, flawed, broken. And it's another Chris Grayling fiasco. But the reason that Branson's not pleased about losing the Virgin franchise is because it is so massively favouring the train operator. The subsidies that they're getting are amazingly generous, beyond anything you could imagine. So let alone the providing a service, the financial incentive is all about the subsidies, especially in the south and southeast. So I'm jaundiced. I know because I'm ex-BR, but you know, it's always been a disaster, that privatisation. That's an absolute disaster.
And it's interesting. Virgin Rail are opening in Florida in the next couple of months.
Oh wow!
Okay. John, and I don't know anything about it, obviously. But even that, they'll be just taking over an infrastructure, won't they? And they'll be taking over rolling stock.
No idea. When he was interviewed last night, he said, "Well, I'm concentrating on our new opening in Florida, but I'm shocked by the government's news." So
he's just shocked he's losing all that cash. Not because he wants to provide a good service. Anyway, move on.
Well, just to say, Richard Branson has said that this could be the end of Virgin Trains.
There'll be another one along later.
Well, of course, LNER is running really well these days, and of course it's back in government hands. So maybe the lot should go back in government hands.
Sure, of course it should.
I just want to give praise to the West Coast Trains because they're absolutely awesome, in my opinion. Right, okay. And Stephen's looking the other way and saying, no, they're not.
Wasn't it West Coast that Jeremy was photographed sitting down in the corridor or at the end of the train? Okay.
Right, let's go halfway around the world and to the next mode of transport. And Google Wing, it's not an airline, Google Wing have launched their first home delivery drone service.
My God.
And this delivers goods to 200, it's just to 200 houses at the moment. They're not allowed to drive over roads or any public highways, but they can deliver parcels by drone, which saves a poster going out and delivering them.
How do they get there if they can't fly over the roads?
They've got to go over the fields, John. Yes, you've probably got me there, but they're supposed to keep going.
have you seen the, and I'm sure it's a bit of artificial video, all of the drones falling out the bottom of the Google airship?
Right, no, I haven't seen it. Right, I mean, one of the points about this is obviously this is the way things could go, and I want to come back to the British Post Service in a moment and our delivery systems. But the bit that gets me on this is that you've got the drone that goes from the depot, it flies to the house where it's got to deliver the parcel. How do you think the parcel gets from the drone up in the sky down to the house? I'll give you a clue. It doesn't drop it. Because that, I mean, with glass, it was carrying glass.
Don't tell me they're on parachutes as well now.
No, it's not a parachute. It comes down... This is possibly the Achilles heel of the system, that the goods are delivered at the end of a piece of string. So they come down from the drone on a piece of string. Yeah. Now, whether it's got a self-release mechanism or not, I don't know, because if it hasn't, it means that the person's got to be stood there to actually catch the parcel. So we watch with interest the Google Wing drone service, which is launched in Australia. It is the way things are going to go. But I just want to give a shout out, and we mentioned it earlier on the show, Stephen. It was me who went down to the door to collect a parcel. The parcel delivery services and the British Postal Services are quite probably the best in the world, and we don't need drones.
We need people to be employed.
We do.
No unemployment has fell significantly over the last 2 years, but it's still high.
Right. Okay. Now, every year I bring this up on screen and say the UK's most streamed songs may surprise you. And there is a link. And every year, I'm going to read the top five and just see if you've actually heard of any of them. I know we're not great streamers, but we're just going to give out, it's a public service announcement, the top five streamed, this is from the BBC website. Okay, have we heard of Drake?
Yeah, it's a big black bloke. And that isn't racist, that's just the best description I can give of him.
Right, 147 million streams last year. He's top of the shop. And then a combo I've never heard of called Keala Settle, Greatest Showman Cast.
Yeah, of course, yeah. No.
Never heard of him.
Okay. Right, third one we can all agree on. The third most downloaded song was Bruno Mars.
Which one?
Finesse.
Sorry, have you seen the breaking news, Stephen?
Just a minute, I'm coming back for the breaking news. We'll take that off and we'll go to breaking news. What's the breaking news, Stephen?
That well-known Cream has been arrested after 7 years in Ecuador's embassy.
Oh, blimey, look, yes.
Oh, wow. All right, well, that beats the...
Guantanamo. Well. Sorry, so, Stephen, the rest, please. We're all waiting.
I know you are. Right, number four. I know you are. Slaw. Well, see ya? Never mind. Number five, Ed Sheeran.
I've heard of him.
Ping pong pong. Yeah, he's boring, I think, personally. But
George Ezra?
I think I've heard of him. He's quite good, isn't he, I think? I've heard one track of his, I think. Quite
Budapest. Passenger? Let Her Go? Right, I think, actually, I'm going to close that now. I think, actually, we've done better than we did last year. So, obviously, things are... And Claire's just read that too. And Claire can understand the Greatest Showman song. It's obviously something we've got to catch up on, guys.
The reason I knew who Drake was, by the way, was that he was on the front page of the BBC today with the fact that he's going to host the One Extra Rap show. In fact, he's still on the front page. Is immediately underneath the WikiLeaks news at this very minute.
Right now,
I think we broke some news, though.
Sorry,
we broke some news, didn't we?
Is it come out, or has he got really peed off? Because they removed his access to the internet a couple of weeks ago.
No, that was a year ago, John, that they did that.
I know he got it back. Now they've done it again.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah.
And Claire's posted a link to the breaking story. Okay, brilliant.
Is it exciting or not? Because, of course, he's no longer wanted in
Ecuador.
No, in Norway. He was hiding in there because there was a rape charge, but that rape charge has been withdrawn.
Isn't it that the statute of limitations has gone out on it?
Yeah, something like that.
Well. Twitter will be all a buzz.
It will.
Twitter. Because, you know how Trump plays there? Well, it's anti-Trump people play there as well. And they're all rather keen to talk, in quotes, to Mr. Assange. It's rather nasty Assange you've got there, John.
Yes, I've got a sore throat to go with it.
Okay, just a correct, non-commercial break, cause break. April 16th is Dirt Stream and Drive Day. We welcome your help. There's a short show after this show, if you've got that. on the Sergeant TCS page and on the Be Live in 5 page as to how you can help and get involved. Essentially, what we're looking for is we want you to send us a tweet or share a Facebook post, and you can sign up on the Sergeant TCS page whilst you're watching Blubbing for Britain episode 172B live. Now, that's on the subject of driving. I spotted today that somebody was seen. I'm going to find it if I can. Is that somebody was actually seen driving the wrong way on the M1.
Trouble is, this seems to be a regular occurrence, driving the wrong way down the motorway. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, he apparently realised he was in the wrong. He's 55, by the way. He's younger than 55. A young'un, or an old'un, depending on where you're looking from, Stephen. He's 55, and he was driving the wrong way up the M1. He realised it. So then he did what all of us would do. He reversed and drove backwards. Then he realised that he obviously couldn't drive as fast in reverse as the car's coming towards him. So he legged it onto the hard shoulder and then drove on the hard shoulder the wrong way and eventually drove his way off the motorway. So thank goodness he's okay. But you're saying, John, it happens regularly.
Yeah. It's Bedford Police's most famous offence, isn't it? We get a lot of people who go the wrong way onto Spaghetti Junction as well.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, I've known people going to Spaghetti Junction and never leave. Ever.
The most stupid thing, actually, it's actually impossible to do that because all Spaghetti Junction is a collection of corners.
You might say that, but there are people still driving around there now who disagree.
There is a thing called Ashted Circus that sits underneath it, which is a big roundabout. I guess okay. They could go round and round Ashted Circus, but the actual flyovers above are all just big.
One of my favorite pastimes, I'll own up now, one of my favorite pastimes is missing the turning on a roundabout and therefore having to go around twice. I'm well known for that one.
You strange man.
You don't drive as regular as the rest of us, though, do you?
No, I don't. I'm driven.
You certainly are.
right. And Claire's suggesting that Peter might be on at Spaghetti Junction at the moment. And that's where he's got lost to.
No, he's on Aberdeen Bypass, which is new.
Popular road, that Aberdeen.
A phone. Right. Okay. I think I'm pretty well exhausted all the stories that we've had today, so we can steer clear of Brexit because.
Shall we talk about Burnley?
Aye, lad, we should. Now we can talk football. I talk about a miraculous escape. I said last week that I hoped Burnley would actually stay up. We now know that Burnley are going to stay up. They're eight points. They are 8 points clear of Cardiff, who are third from bottom. So 36 points to 28 points. And they actually have a six-pointer because their next match is against Cardiff. So mathematically, it's very difficult for Cardiff to actually stay up. And if Burnley beat them, it's impossible. So there you go. So I'm a happier claret than I was 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's amazing how two wins on the trot can actually change your outlook on life. Not just on football, but on life. And you can go around with a smile on your face and a spring in your step because your team's doing well.
Well, my Claret and Blues, of course, have had 7 wins on the trot and have suddenly gone from a mediocre mid-table to playoff team in 5th position. So that's
we had a win last weekend. We scored a goal away from home, and then we did one better than that night before last when we got 2 players sent off, and lost the 3-1. I think it was 3-0, 3-1 on there. So the mood around here is quite different to yours, Stephen. And to be honest, I don't give a shit anymore. They're not worth my mind space.
Now, we've got a lot of excitement in Solihull, because Solihull Moors, which was formed from two local teams coming together about 15 years ago, the others being Hall Green Moors and Solihull Borough, they're second in the National League, having only just escaped relegation from the National League there. They are actually in a promotion position and could end up in the Football League.
Yay! That's good.
Can you tell me who's number one in the National League?
Milton Keynes, Watford.
No,
Watford, they're in the First Division. First Division, I'm really old, the Premier Division. It's Salford City, as owned by a group of Manchester United players, with a recent new director called Beckham.
Oh, indeed.
So there's a good chance that either Salford or Solihull or both could find themselves playing in Division 2 next season.
I was smiling when I see Fleetwood and Morecambe in the league as well.
Brilliant to me.
Back in my day, they were no hope at and wouldn't stand a chance, but now they're in the league and doing well. I just want to give a personal shout out. The shout out is to Facebook Business Connect, which is a group of people put together by Facebook and supported by Facebook. And if you've got any problems as a business person, you can actually go and tell them their problem. And the thing is that I told them about a problem 3 days ago, and today it's fixed. And you can't ask for better than that. So if you're having any problems on Facebook, let me know what they are. I know a person who will actually respond to everything and actually reach out to their fellow teammates on Facebook and get it fixed. Now, obviously, I can't take feature requests, but if you've got a genuine problem with Facebook...
Can you fix all these stupid idiots that are on Facebook and get rid of them? I mean, I'm fed up of seeing some of the things that get posted.
That's the other thing. Our government is going to regulate Facebook, isn't it?
What government? Government? When are we going to have a government that can make any decision?
Our civil service, a bit more correct, our civil service are going to sort of be running Facebook in the UK by saying what can and can't be. Is that right, Stephen?
Kind of. It's not. It's about removing content quickly enough.
Right.
So, you know, if content gets put up there, like the, I don't know who decides what's bad, but for example, that New Zealand massacre content would have to be removed bloody quickly. Yeah. But whether it will succeed, I don't know. The odds are against it. Steve, I run a couple of a Facebook page and a Facebook group for a networking group around here.
Yeah.
The guy who used to run it, or the person who used to run it and his admin rights, died a few years ago.
Okay.
Taking his passwords with him.
Yeah.
And Facebook won't listen to us saying, can we please get rid of that or merge it or whatever. So if I drop you some details, would you see if that man can do some miracles for us? We've asked him before.
I can ask the general question, what happens when the person running a group
what happens. They just don't follow through. I asked them very politely to just sort of let me have access to it, because he died. And I've got all my credentials from the group, from the organisation. But they just don't answer.
Right. Well, you drop me the details. I'll certainly pass it on. Yes, John, we have a show in 5 minutes, so... I have a show, and you both welcome to join me for 5 minutes if you want.
I'd love to, but I have to go out.
That's all right. John, would you like to close the show? This show.
This show. Oh, yes. Well, it's goodbye from him. It's goodbye from him. And it's goodbye from me. Take care out there. Behave yourselves. Do something good this weekend that will help your health. And have a great weekend. And I'll see you in a few minutes on 172B.
Okay. What John said. Bye for now.
What John said with knobs on.
Okay.